JW Mobile.
WTJKT.
My phone around then. Where were we? My epiphany. I was sitting on my bicycle in Michelin. I was in the lab. I picked up samples and brought them into the lab. They did testing. And when Michelin was built, they built the first two chains, is what they call it. A chain is what you build tires on. And then they built the second two chains later. And I was sitting between the two chains, halfway between the front and the back, so right in the middle of the plant on my bicycle. And I had an epiphany, sitting there thinking to myself while I was picking up samples.
Think of times that those epiphanies can hit, isn't it?
Beginning of the week, and I think I had like $5 in my pocket, and the pay wasn't until the end of the week. And I had 2 mouths to feed, not including myself and my wife, and dogs and cats and all that kind of stuff. And I said to myself, this is not working. I got to do something different. And that's when I changed. That's when I sold my gas guzzler truck and got rid of the insurance on it and a few of the other luxuries that I had, flying airplanes all the time, and I had airplane engines and nitrous for the airplane. I just let go of all of that, and I went back to school because that's what I had to do because what I was doing wasn't working.
It's great to realize that you need to do something different, but the problem is that we have a system that's designed to prevent you doing that. In most cases, like, you know, most people can't just up and go back to school because they have those mouths to feed, and it's not like they can feed those mouths in any other way if they stop working or anything to go back to school. Yeah, maybe you can go to work and go to school at the same time, but, you know, it's easy. It's something that's easier said than done, and, you know, most people just aren't going to be in a position to do that. And, you know, we need people to work in factories, and we need people to be electricians and skilled labor. And, you know, those jobs at one point in time would provide you with enough of an income to support a family and have a middle-class American dream kind of life. And those things have just been deflated away and suppressed to the point where, you know, like, even if you have some skilled jobs, chances of you making it for a family of four are getting less and less. And you know, the wage growth just isn't there to keep up with anything. So, you know, the system does need to change, and I think people have gotten to that point where they realize it. But, you know, what to do next, nobody knows. Just, you know, burn down what we've got now, and then we'll deal with it when we come to it.
W to sync up the repeater. Well, back then it wasn't anything anybody could do. I still had to feed mouths. But here's the thing. People coming over from other countries that don't have a dollar in their pocket figure out how to make it work. And back then, I had $5 in my pocket, so I didn't have any way to make it work. I had to give up a lot of the things that I loved and my creature comforts and give up my free time to go to school and work at the same time. I had to let go of a lot to prepare for the future. I think it started happening when my dad, he became an electrical engineer. And after the Industrial Revolution, a lot of engineers came out of the Industrial Revolution. And at the beginning of that, they made that money that you're talking about. This was in the 40s and 50s. They made that good, and they were able to do that. But then there got to be so many engineers that their income dropped because there was supply versus demand. Their income went down because there were so many of them. So then you had to start looking for something different, right? And it's like so many people are against automation. Well, the new jobs that are replacing the old jobs are programming those machines that are taking those jobs, which pays 10 times more what you were making before. It just takes a little brain power to make it happen. They're there. Those jobs are there. They can make those. In fact, they have to import people from other countries to fill those positions because there's no Americans that are wanting those positions these days. They're too hard.
But you also have to consider that, you know, if you're eliminating 10 jobs because of automation, you're creating one job of that higher skill level. So what do you do with the other 9 people, right? So those other 9 people need to find something else to do. And so when you rapidly automate an industry, you know, you're creating sort of a flood of people who are outside of their skill set, who either have to go learn something new or go do something that maybe even pays even less than they were making in the time being. So it can definitely upset the apple cart, you know, to roll out automation, especially quickly. But, I mean, that's really not the problem we have now. The problem we have now is just economic uncertainty driving people to make decisions that are going to put the brakes on the economy and all jobs in every sector, no matter what level you're at. And so it's just, you know, that uncertainty is creating a lot of waves right now.
The same thing, but we're saying it from different sides of the coin. Think about it, one of the things that I do when it's difficult to figure out something is I exaggerate it by 100-fold. So think about it 100 years from now, 200 years from now, and then think 100 years back, 200 years back. Before there were cars, there were blacksmiths. The blacksmiths made horseshoes. Horseshoes were for horses, and they made wagon wheel covers for wagon wheels. And so blacksmiths were in big demand. But blacksmiths have different technology. Now there's people that hold machines that bolt parts together inside factories, right? What about those blacksmiths, right? What about their job? Why shouldn't we have their jobs? Shouldn't they still be allowed to have their jobs and their income be the same as an engineer? No. No, 100 years from now, 200 years from now, robots will be doing all of that work, every bit of it, right? And people will have to use their brain, whether they want to or not. I think that's the epiphany that I had sitting on that bicycle, is I'm not going to be able to do this without having to do the hard work. It's not going to happen. And yeah, I'm going to have to give up luxuries for a while to make that happen. So, anyway, an epiphany is a hard thing to swallow, but sometimes you just have to do that. You have to bite the bullet.
We are saying sort of the same thing, you know. I kind of look at it from the other way, is that, like, nothing ever changes. You know, it's just the same thing over and over and over again, repeated this generation or the next. So it's the same process, right? You have people that are valuable and worth something, and then you wake up one day and they're not, and you can't just throw those people away because they're no longer valuable or trained. And not all of them are going to be able to transition to whatever has replaced what they're doing, because inevitably, you know, whatever has replaced what they're doing does not require that many people. That's the whole point. You know, the only reason that we have technological development and process development is to get rid of people. So, you know, what do you do with all those people? That's what pensions were designed to deal with, but then, of course, now we've gotten rid of pensions, too. So, I don't know what the real answer is, but, you know, I think the root cause of what's going on now is that people are just tired of being thrown away and spit out of the machine because they're no longer useful, and then being left to, you know, basically starve in the gutter. So I don't know. I don't know what the real answer is, but, you know, maybe burning down the system will work and maybe it won't, but I guess we're going to find out one way or another, aren't we?
For real, it is. I mean, whether people say it or not, whether they say, oh, this is just a little suffering before everything gets a whole lot better. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Anyway, I'm at home now, Eric. Good talking to you. I always enjoy it. Intellectual challenge. Anyway, good talking to you. Be safe the rest of the way home. W2JKT, W4DJW. I'll be clear after you.
Good talking to you. I definitely enjoy the intellectual conversations and, you know, pondering the way things are going in life and where life is taking us as a people. So anyway, have a great day and have fun with the wife and the dogs, and maybe I'll catch you again this week later on this commute. We'll talk to you later. W2JKT 73.